This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالًا كثيرًا ونساءً واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة. Imagine yourself moving from one house to the next. You are leaving your old house and you're going to move to your new house. What would people say if you left everything behind without taking anything with you at all? What would people say? Immediately, if people found out, they would say you're crazy. If you already have a couch that's still nice, why would you need a new one? If you already have a bed that's still usable, why would you need a new one? Why would you waste your money? In this life we're living in, we're travelers, and thus we're moving. But with the akhirah, with the hereafter, you cannot bring anything with you unless you spend it. Whatever you want to take with you in the hereafter, then you give it. True piety comes in giving from that which you love the most. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ali Imran, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٌ لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ You will never achieve piety and righteousness until you spend from that which you love. You will never achieve piety and righteousness until you spend from that which you love the most. So, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, whenever he would come across this ayah, he would think and reflect upon all of the things that he loved more than anything else. Because this is how the companions were. Whenever they came across an ayah, they would apply it right away. And so, he would reflect upon what he loved the most. And every single time he would give it. Every time he would give it. And so one day, he was reflecting upon what he loved more than anything else. And he had just bought a slave girl that he was planning to marry. He loved her very much. So he thought about it. And then he gave her to his other freed slave, whom he married him to. Who was Salim, Mawla ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. And so, he came across also this, he always reflected upon this ayah. One day he was sick, and they were traveling next to the coast, and he really wanted some fish to eat. He craved for it so much that he asked the people around him if they can get him some fish. So they made a great effort to go to the ocean and get him some fish. When he brought it with him, a man came right across, right in front of him. And so he looked at him, and the man was very poor and he was hungry. And the fish had just been prepared for him by his wife. And so he saw that man and he gave the fish that he craved so much to the man. And thus, he gave up that which he wanted the most at that time. And then his wife said, "Well, we have so much other food, why could you just give him that?" He said, "لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ." You will never achieve piety until you spend on that which you love. And when we see the time of the companions, they always thought their own, they always had the concern for Islam. It wasn't what Islam could do for them, but what they could do for Islam. You might think this is John F. Kennedy, but no, it's Ali ibn Abi Talib. Radiallahu anhu, John F. Kennedy stole it from him. Ask not what Islam can do for you, but what you can do for Islam. And so, in this month, the month of Ramadan, this is the month in which we should hold hands, and we should help each other, those who are in need. We help the people who are in need in our community first. We look at everyone who is in need, and this is where the zakat, first of all, should go. It should go to the people whom you see every day, and it should go to your closest relatives, if it's permissible to give them, as long as they're not your parents or your children and so forth. But look for the people around us first before you send it overseas, unless you have parents or you have, not parents, but you have cousins and so forth overseas that need help also. But otherwise, check the community. This is a time in which we bring everyone together, and there shouldn't be anyone in the community who is in need whatsoever. And this is how we all should be as Muslims during this month. And we should love for our brothers what we love for ourselves as a minimum requirement. We all know the hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La yu'minu ahadukum hatta yuhibba li akhihi ma yuhibbu li nafsihi." None of you truly believes until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. A lot of us think this is a high position to achieve. You know what? As a Muslim, it's a minimum requirement. Every Muslim has to love for his brother what he loves for himself. This is not a praiseworthy position. This is the minimum requirement. The praiseworthy position is إِثَارِ وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةٌ. They prefer others over themselves, even if they are in dire need of it. Even if they're poor, if they're in dire need of it, they still prefer others over themselves. And so this is the month in which we should think about the community, and we should think about others who are in need, and we should think about Islam and our concern for spreading and conveying this religion. During the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is the first concern that they had when they said, "La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah." At-Tufayl ibn Amr from Yemen, from Ad-Daws, from the tribe of Daws, he came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Mecca. And before he reached Mecca, the Meccans around him, they had warned him about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said, "This man is crazy, this man is a poet, this man is a magician." They said all kinds of things to scare him. And he was so scared to the point where when he entered Mecca, he covered up his ears, he put cotton in his ears so he wouldn't hear the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they told him to avoid the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at all costs. And so when At-Tufayl ibn Amr, when he was making tawaf around the Kaaba, he saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sitting, reading the Qur'an. And he was reflecting and thinking about what he was doing. He said, "Ya At-Tufayl, you know, you're a very smart person. You're not, you know, you can distinguish right from wrong. You're not a fool. You know what's good and what's bad. And if it's good, you take it. If it's bad, you reject it. You don't have to act like this." So he started reflecting on himself that what he was doing was foolish. Like, you can distinguish. Why does he have to put something to block this out? He could distinguish it if it's bad. And so he decided to take off his earplugs, with the cotton that he had in his ears. And then he heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Qur'an, and it struck right into his heart. And he said to himself, he said, "You know what? You know," he said, "O Tufayl, you're a smart person. You know good from bad. This is not a word of a crazy person. These are not the words of any poet." He says, "I'm a poet, and I'm saying, I can't even say half the things of this." And so, immediately, he tried to find the house of the Prophet ﷺ. He didn't want to let the other people know because they had warned him so much. So he waited until he found out where the Prophet ﷺ had lived. And then later on, in the time when it was quiet, when he approached the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then when he knocked at the door, he asked him, what was that that you were reading? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi told him, this is the Quran. And he was a messenger sent from Allah to guide mankind. He sent to tell people to worship none except Allah. And so after hearing him read the Quran, after listening to him, At-Tufayl ibn Amr said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. At-Tufayl ibn Amr afterwards, he stayed for a few days with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Immediately he said to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before going back home, he said, Ya Rasulullah, the people of Dawes are idol worshippers and they commit zina and they do all kinds of things. They're very hard hit. I want to go back and teach them. I want to go back and tell them about Islam. Make dua to Allah to give me a sign. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a sign. And in another narration, he made dua. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made light come from his forehead. And then at night time, he had light coming from his forehead. And so when that happened, he said, you know what, people are going to think there's something wrong with him. And so he said, he made dua to Allah to move it to his whip. You know, so this is a miracle. He had, every time he would take out his whip, there would be light, it would be bright. But you know what? At-Tufayl ibn Amr, he just accepted Islam just a few days. Immediately, his concern was for the Ummah, to convey this message, to improve the Ummah, to help people know this deen. Just a few days. How long have you become Muslim? How long have you been Muslim, brothers and sisters? How long have we been Muslims? For them, immediately their concern was that. But with us, we've been Muslim, most of us, all our lives. But we don't even have this concern. And so, especially during this month, start thinking about you. Just improving yourself. But one way to do it, the best way to do it, is to improve others also. And so, this also builds the love amongst us. In order to build a community, we have to love each other. And let me give you a few steps of what to do. You know, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Medina from Mecca, when he made his hijrah, what was the first thing that he said to the people of Mecca, of the people of Medina? He said, Ayyuhal nas, O people, afshis salam, spread the salam, wa at'im al-ta'am, وَصَلُّوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامُ تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ بِالسَّلَامِ. Now, when you're coming to a new city, you have to build the foundations of brotherhood, the foundations of a community. Listen to what the Prophet ﷺ says. He said, the first thing he said was, spread the salam. There's asrar, there's secrets when a person gets, you know, they're like hidden, you know, in the salams, there's a bond that's built when you say assalamu alaykum. And when it's near the Day of Judgment, people don't give salams. Or if they do give salams, like the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Min amongst the signs of the Day of Judgment, ayyukum salama lil-ma'rifah." You give salams only when you need something. So for example, when you meet somebody, you say, "Salamu alaykum, brother. Do you know where the closest halal restaurant is?" Now you wouldn't have given salams to him if you didn't want need to know that. Or you say, "Salamu alaykum, brother. Did you see the keys that I put here?" Now when you pass them up, if you didn't forget those keys, you wouldn't have asked. And that's what the salam, that's what the salam has become. I was in one of the Muslim countries before, and every time I would pass by somebody, I would give salams to them. And every time they would stop by, they would say, yes, what do you want? Salamu alaykum, brother. Yes, what do you want? La ilaha. I don't want anything, I just want to give salam. Why? Because they're so used to it. If you give salams, it's because you want them. And so the Prophet said, Afshis salam. And this is the beginning of building our love. You know why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "La tadkhulu al-jannata hatta tu'minu." You will not enter paradise until you believe. "Wala tu'minu hatta tahabbu." And you will not truly believe until you love each other. "Afala adullukum ala shay'in idha fa'altumuhu tahabbtum?" Would you like me to show you something that if you were to do it, you would love each other? Afshis salam. Spread the salams amongst yourselves. Say, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum. Even if he's not from your country, even if he doesn't speak your language, even if when you give salam, the next time you see him, for example, you give him salam. If you didn't give him salam, and you saw him in Walmart like three days later, there would be no effect whatsoever. But if you gave him a salam, immediately there's a connection. When you see him again at Walmart or wherever you may be, and where, outside in public, immediately, oh, that's the brother that gave salams to. Oh, that's the brother that gave salams to. The connection right there starts right away. And that's how you start building love. And then afterwards, we have to love each other. Because if we don't love each other, we cannot have true iman. And you cannot worship Allah peacefully until you love each other. Because when you come to the masjid and we don't love each other, you have this person disputing about this, this person disputing about that, this person saying this and saying that. You know, later on people, I don't want to go to the masjid anymore. All you see is fights. That's all you see. I don't want to help in that project because I don't like that brother. And so once, and then what happens? Your children go astray because you can't put together an Islamic school. You can't put together a masjid. You can't put together programs. Why? Because you don't love each other. And that's what we have to start to love each other. Not only just loving what we want for ourselves, but taking another step, but love for your brother more than what you even want for yourself. Prefer your brothers over the others. And also when it's time for us to help out, we have to feel the responsibility. We have to shoulder the responsibility, ummah. We have to stop blaming other people. We always blame the times that we're living in. We say this and we say that. نَعِيبُ زَمَانُنَا وَالْعِيبُ فِينَا وَلَيْسَ لِزَمَانِنَا عِيبٌ سِوَانَا. We always blame the times that we're living in. But there's nothing wrong with the time we're living in. The only thing that's wrong with the time we're living in is us. Nothing else. So quit blaming the times that we were living in, quit blaming the community, and start being proactive and joining the community, build this love, and then work together. Help each other. And it starts, of course, with this month. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this great blessing that we are alive during this month to worship Allah during this month. And if you're able to help, then this is something that is a higher status than just, you know, like there's an issue amongst the scholars. They discuss an issue. Whether it's better to be poor and patient or be rich and thankful. Is it better to be poor and patient? Some of the scholars said, you know what? It's better to be poor and patient because the poor people, as in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the poor people will enter paradise 500 years before the rich people. Right? They'll enter 500 years before the rich people, you know, so. If they're poor and they're very patient, that's good. But is that true? They will go 500 years. But does that mean they're better than the rich guy, the rich person, who helps in the community and so forth, and others, and he's thankful that Allah has given such and such blessings? The stronger of the two opinions, as mentioned by some of the scholars, is the rich person is better. Why? Because when he's patient, when a person is poor and is patient, he only benefits himself. But when you're rich and you're thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you benefit yourself and you benefit others also. And so, that's why the wealth in the hands of a righteous person, نَعْمَ الْمَالُ الصَّالِحُ فِي يَدِ رَجُلٍ صَالِحٍ. So the great is righteous, good wealth, righteous wealth, I mean, in the hands of a righteous person. And so, this month, we have to try to help and work with each other with many programs and so forth, and we have to contribute all that we can to bring the community together. Because this is the time in which if we cannot bring the community together, then when do you think you can? If you can't help and contribute to the community during this time, when do you think you can? You know the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِذَا جَاءَ رَمَضَانِ فتحت أبواب الجنة وغلقت أبواب النيران وصفلت الشياطين. When Ramadan comes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the doors of paradise and closes the doors of the hellfire. And then the shayateen, the shaytan, are shackled to make it easier for you to work, to do the good deeds. Do you think you can get together and do good deeds and so forth if you don't do it now? After the shaytan comes out, when he's shackled now, this is an opportunity for us to work. And you know, this is an opportunity that's for us to change and change ourselves and change the community. And stop blaming other people. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر لي ولكم فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأصلي وأسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. This is the month in which the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was even more gracious. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم was very gracious and very generous. But during this month, he was even more generous. He was more generous than, so generous, it's like, you know, a continuous breeze. This is how Rih al-Mursal, a continuous breeze, as Aisha described the Messenger of Allah in his generosity. And this is the month in which if you want to change, or if you want Jannah, work and put out the extra effort. And then hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make dua to Him that you'll be amongst those in paradise, amongst the highest level in paradise. But you know what? If we want to be like them, then we have to imitate them and copy them. Let me give you an example. During the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of the rivalry between Abu Bakr and Umar. You know, rivalry, we're talking about good and doing good. They always tried to strive to beat each other to do good and doing good. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, he said, I'm going to come, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked people to help and put in and give in charity for the campaign they're about to start. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asking Umar ibn Khattab, said, today I'm going to beat Abu Bakr. Today I'm going to do it. So he came with half of his wealth. And every half of his wealth he came. And so guess what Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu did? He came with everything. He brought everything. Everything that he had, he gave it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when he was asked, what did you leave for your family? Because you have to think about your family also. He said, I left Allah and His Messenger. I kept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah and His Messenger for his family. Now you might say, well, if somebody's going to do this, it's not permissible. Right? It isn't permissible to give in something in charity and then leave your family to starve. But you know what? Abu Bakr كان أفجر قريش as Aisha رضي الله عنها said. He was very good. He was the best merchant among the most of Quraysh. People knew him all over because of his skills in business and so forth. And so he could afford to give all without neglecting his family. And you know what? These are the people of Jannah. And we can do the same thing. Believe it or not, living in the United States, you can. There's a possibility of that. Do you think people can do it? Yes. You know how? You give everything that you have. Everything you have. You still got your salary next month. Just go to work. When your salary comes back, build it up again. And Allah will give you even more and more and more all the time. You know, we hear these stories, subhanAllah. If these things came from authentic kings, we'd say they're fairy tales. But these are real stories of true men. Not males. True men. During the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who gave all that they had for his deen. Why? Because they knew that the true life is the life in the hereafter. This is not the real life. You're just traveling. And you know, when the people of the sinners and so forth, when they are brought forth in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did they say? Ya laytani qaddamtu li hayati. What are they talking about when they say this? They said, oh, woe to me if I only brought forth for my life. What is the true life? Hayati. If only I brought something for my life. If only I left something for my life. Because they're sorrow. So you know, whatever you have in this life, when you die, it doesn't matter 100 years from now what car you drive. It doesn't matter 100 years from now what house you live in. It won't matter how much money you have in the bank. Nobody will care after 100 years from now. Whether you're driving a Mercedes or you're driving a Clunker, nobody will care. What will really matter is what you left for the deen and what you left as your deeds, and that's what you bring with you to the hereafter. And you know what? You can take everything, anything that you want with you in the hereafter, to the hereafter. Anything that you have right now, you can take it to the hereafter. And it will be improved millions and millions of times. How do you take it to the hereafter? The only way to take what you have in this life to the hereafter is give it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're going to move to those that eventually everybody's going to move. But you decide which neighborhood you're going to live in. Either a Jannah or not. What neighborhood do you want? You want the ghetto? And you know, it's not like the ghettos in Nashville. And not, it's not like the ghettos in Nashville. Or you want the high area, the highest level with the prophets and messengers. You look at them, you imitate their deeds, and copy them, and follow their ways. And this month is the month in which we should start to think about this change. And you know, when we finish this month off, we should be continuous also. So don't do good deeds all at once and then stop. Don't be a Ramadan Muslim. Muslim just in the month of Ramadan. Continue, because that's the most beloved deed in the sight of Allah. When the Prophet ﷺ was asked by Aisha in another narration from Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he said, Ya Rasulullah, what are the most beloved deeds to you? And the Messenger of Allah ﷺ said, خَيْرُ الْأَعْمَالِ أَدْوَلُهَا وَإِنْ قَلْ. The best deeds are that which is little, even if it, or that which is consistent, even if it's little. So be consistent in your deeds. Make your intention now to be consistent, to come to the masjid consistently. InshaAllah, for example, every single day, you try to come as much as possible. Don't let a day go by unless you go at least one time or two times or whatever you're able to go. But be consistent. Even if you're tired, make your minimum requirements. Set it as a minimum requirement for you. And be consistent in giving zakat. Be consistent with recitation of the Qur'an. Be consistent with helping others and visiting the sick and so forth. There are so many things that we can do in this month. And then we can start everything rolling, and then when Ramadan is over, we continue with those deeds. But we have to start now. Because if you don't start now in the shayateen or shackle, when are you going to start? You think you're going to start when he comes back? This is it. This is the time to change, brothers. This is the time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us that we should be thankful and take advantage of. Because maybe next month, next year, you will not be alive. So every single day, take it as if it's your last day. And work for Allah's sake. And think of the community. Think globally, but work locally. As a Muslim, we always think globally. You think about the Ummah. You think about the Muslims. But you know, you start locally. And then whatever you can, you go to the next level. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ, even with the zakat, you should help the people around you. Make sure everybody's around you is taken care of first. And that's why when he sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu to Yemen, what did he say? He told them to tell him to pray, to believe in Allah, to pray, and then to give zakat. To take from the rich, min abniyat wa tuqba, ala fuqara'ihim. And give to their poor. He didn't say collect the money and send to Medina. Take care of the people around you, because this is how you build love amongst you. When you see the brothers, you know, these are the brothers which you help. And then afterwards, if you have anything left and so forth, if everyone's taken care of, then send it over. Send it overseas. But take care of your community and help out around the community before you go anywhere else, because that's where you live. But we also have to think globally, yes, but we start locally first. And so, in this month, everyone should have the intention to change. And everyone should have the intention to have this concern for the deen and to help Islam. Allahumma fir al muslimina wal muslimat wal mu'minina wal mu'minat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat. Allahumma ati nufusana taqwaha wa zakkiha anta khayru man zakkaha anta waliyuha wa mawlaha. Allahumma a'izz al islam wal muslimin. Allahumma a'izz al islam wal muslimin. Allahumma a'izz al islam wal muslimin wa dhill al shirk wal mushrikin wa damir a'da'aka a'da'a din. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من عذاب النار ونعوذ بك من عذاب القبر ونعوذ من فتنة المحيا والممات ونعوذ من شر فتنة المسيح الدجال. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما.